June in Santa Rita is perfect. Just perfect. The sun sits high in the sky, which is itself just the right shade of unpolluted powder blue, and the temperature averages a mild 83. It isn't too hot to play tennis. Silk doesn't stick. The pool at the club is cool enough so that swimming is refreshing, and the summer fog that usually creeps in off the ocean is held at bay, its gray tentacles undulating right off the shore. Janice Miller wakes up on the last Monday of the month to the sound of a song from her youth, playing softly on the radio alarm clock. In the vast king bed, the lyrics wash over her as she drifts up toward consciousness. So happy together. A frivolous little tune, one she hasn't heard in decades, and yet she can suddenly recall every word, even the cover of the album. The record had been a bribe from one of her mother's boyfriends, and 10-year-old Janice had played the song over and over until the record finally disappeared during one of their moves. 39 years later, and Janice is once again hooked in by that uplifting refrain, "So happy together." She yawns widely. She did not sleep well the night before. Paul crept out of bed at 4 a.m. in order to make it to the stock exchange before the starting bell, and she had tossed and turned for the next few hours. Glancing at the clock, Janice is jolted out of her reverie. It's 7:45, almost 2 hours since the stock market opened. She turns the radio to a news station and climbs out of bed. She takes a shower, listening with one ear, but hears nothing about Applied Pharmaceuticals. The morning news plays as she remakes the bed, replacing the dozen or so pillows, shams, bolsters, and decorative blankets to their designated positions. There's still nothing by the time she's dressed in her tennis whites, and she finally goes downstairs to turn on the coffee pot. En route, she snaps on the television in the family room so she can watch CNBC through the kitchen door as she prepares an egg white frittata with feta and roasted zucchini for her daughter, Lizzie. Finally, at 8:30, the chesty redhead behind the anchor desk clears her throat and turns to the camera. And now, the stock market story of the morning, the meteoric ascent of Applied Pharmaceuticals, whose IPO shares are currently sitting at 113.25, only 2 hours after opening bell. Janice gasps in surprise. $113. And if they possess 2.8 million stock options, that means... The rush of blood in her ears makes it hard to hear the rest of the report. Experts cite the strategic timing by CEO Paul Miller for this impressive NASDAQ debut, despite the fact that the company's much-anticipated new drug has yet to arrive in pharmacies. Janice has the urge to scream or jump up and down or run around the house or something, but that would both wake Lizzie up and alarm the neighbors. Instead, she just smiles and automatically moves back to the stove to put the frittata in the oven. Inside, though, she feels like she's exploding and wishes she had someone to share the news with, just to make it more real. She can't call her friends. It would come off as bragging. There's her elder daughter in Los Angeles, but considering the precariousness of their relationship these days, it's probably not a good idea to pester her at work. And Lizzie isn't really an option either. At 14, she is far too young to worry about these kinds of financial matters. Besides, they don't want it to go to her head. Instead, she goes to the phone and dials Paul's cell. The call goes straight to voicemail, which is not a surprise. He had warned her that his day would be madness, but she leaves a message anyway. "Paul, I saw it on television," she says, "and it's thrilling. We did it. Don't eat before you come home. We're going to celebrate tonight, okay? Would 8 o'clock give you enough time to get back down here from San Francisco? I am just so proud." She stays on the phone for a minute, feeling the impulse to babble on, but curbs it and hangs up. And although Janice is just a bit frustrated that once again Paul is impossible to get a hold of, she cheers herself with the knowledge that this is finally the end of all that. This day has loomed in her calendar for almost a year now, a period during which she has become intimately familiar with the machinations of the stock market and the interior workings of the FDA, while simultaneously becoming less and less familiar with her own husband. Every few days, he has had to jet off to Reykjavik or Brunei on the Applied Pharmaceuticals IPO roadshow in order to convince investors to part with ridiculous sums of money. The rest of the time, he's been in his office in Millbrae, working until he collapsed on his leather couch. During the long weeks that Paul's been absent, Janice has sometimes stood before his medicine cabinet in their bathroom, gazing at the little plastic bottles of green Quaffex pills and thinking about him. She kept one pill in her pocket and would turn it round in her hand sometimes, as if it were a rabbit's foot or a good luck charm. And that wasn't so silly after all, was it? Because the charm worked, and today the IPO is over, which means that Paul will finally have time at home again, giving them a chance to return things to the way they were before all this Applied Pharmaceuticals insanity began. The old grandfather clock in the living room chimes out the half hour, which means it's time to get down to the country club for her tennis date. She finishes her coffee, puts the mug in the dishwasher, and gathers her car keys, errand lists, and tennis racket. Lizzie has still not gotten up yet by the time Janice leaves for town, so she just sets the frittata on the counter under a towel. Then she slips out the door, starts up the Porsche Cayenne, and drives down the oak-lined streets toward town. The low morning sun blinks at Janice through the canopy of leaves as she navigates through the residential streets. The neighborhood is still quiet. A new local ordinance has forbidden any construction before 9 o'clock. And the enormous half-built villas that Janice passes on nearly every block loom blankly, with their windows gaping, their gray facades still raw concrete.